This podcast is a part of the Carbon Almanac Network of Podcasts.
Hi, I'm Christina. I'm from Prague.
Hi, I'm Jen, and I'm from Canada.
Hi, I'm Olabanji, and I'm from Nigeria.
Hello, I'm Liki, and I live in Paris.
Hi, I'm Brian, and I'm from New York.
Welcome to Carbon Sessions, a podcast with carbon conversations for every day with everyone from everywhere in the world. In our conversations, we share ideas, perspectives, questions, and things we can actually do to make a difference. So don't be shy and join our Carbon Sessions because it's not too late.
Hi, I'm Liki.
Hi, I'm Rob.
Hi, I'm Christina.
Hi, I'm Barbara.
Yes, today we have Barbara with us. We've heard from Barbara 6 months ago. She was on this podcast, I think in September or in October. At the time, she was launching Generation Carbon Italy, a movement. And no, actually, no, it's not a movement. It's an association. She was kicking off the Generation Carbon Italy, serving primary schools in Italy with the aim to reach 1,000 primary schools in Italy. That is a very big and bold goal. And so here we go. We are 6 months after we talked last time. And so I think it's time to catch up. I think a way to start our conversation is for you to tell us about Earth Day.
Wow, thank you, Liki, for having me and for giving me the chance to talk about once again about Generation Carbon Association. Our main goal is trying to spread a message of the Carbon Almanac, trying to help people get well informed, and especially kids. For this reason, we launched the project at school, and we reached almost 1,000 classes, that is 25,000 kids, with our beautiful materials that come from our Generation Carbon Kid Guide. And we also had the chance to do different workshops at schools. And some kids were very, very lucky because they had the opportunity to visit the wind turbine in some plants. So they had the opportunity to see from reality how green power, no, green energy can be produced just from wind. And it was amazing. And regarding the Earth Day, as we are focusing our activity on kids, had a great opportunity to be there in Turin, celebrating Earth Day just a few days ago, where almost 40,000 people visiting the event, and there were a lot of families and kids, and we had the chance to organize some different activities in order to involve not only the kids, but especially the grown-ups, because, you know, we often talk to the kids in order to talk to the grown-ups. Because what I've seen so far, it's incredible. But the kids are very, you know, keen on being curious and being more informed than the grown-ups. And probably you don't know that, but after one of my workshops, some kids of a class organized a movement that they called Città Clima, which is town climate, for example, to be translated in English. And they are just three or four kids that they are sharing some information, and they also created a manifesto. So the kids are very, very, very resourceful. And so it's a way to talk to kids. It's a way to talk to grown up. Going back to Earth Day, wow. In my opinion, it has been a great example once again of our page 19, because we plan everything and prepare everything in just 3 weeks, because one of our volunteers gave us this kind of opportunity because the company she works for couldn't attend the event as they did in the past, and so she proposed us, why don't we do it as association? And of course, I couldn't say no, because it was a great opportunity for us to spread our messages and say, okay, of course, even though I didn't have any clue how to do that, because it was the first time that we had a place and we had to put together the materials, the ideas. But we brainstormed all together, And the funny thing was that I had quite a clear idea in mind how to, you know, organize. And then, of course, as usual happens, it ends up being something different and more beautiful than it was at the very beginning, you know, because I was so focused, okay, but they have to learn through our kids' guides and they have to, and can be a treasure hunt. And so they have, but it was quite complicated. And then one girl said, okay, why don't we just create some symbols, some icons, and we can, you know, just try to explain something related to the icon and trying to find all these kind of drawings. And so they can go back to our booth and tell what they've seen so far and talking about. So we were in a part of the Royal Palace in Turin, which is a very, very good, beautiful location. We were in the gardens and we were at the entrance of the gardens. So we were very lucky because everybody coming in was seeing us, and so they stopped to know what we were doing or what we were proposing. I think that almost 600 families at least stopped during the day, because the first thing, we were the only one that were proposing an activity all day long, not just in specific moments, but we prepared this kind of activity so that it could be possible to be, you know, the people could participate whatever they want, whenever they wanted. And then we also had to create different places for the kids to draw and to write message for us. And it was beautiful because at the very beginning, we just had, you know, a poster with our logo, Generation Carbon Association, with Facts Connection Action as payoff. And then at the end, our wall was full of beautiful, beautiful drawings and messages. Wow. I was, I can't find a word to express my feelings after, you know, it was tiring and it was stressful, but it was completely rewarding, all the effort we did. And finally, it was a special occasion for us to meet in person for the first time, because I had the chance to meet in several occasions some people, but not everybody had the opportunity to meet in person. So it might be a sort of risk, you know, because we had only the opportunity to talk via Zoom, but when it comes to collaborate and be in the same place, maybe there can be some issues, let me see. But instead, it was beautiful because it was for us a chance also to talk about our story and why we were there. So great opportunity.
Is it the first time for everybody, or just yeah, for a few of you?
Well, I knew and I met more or less all the people, but for the majority of them was the first time they met each other.
Thank you for sharing this, but there's so many things I want to ask you, but maybe I should let Rob or Christina ask their questions first.
I'm quite interested, Barbara, in how you engaged with 1,000 classes, that process that you must have gone through, because that's quite a big achievement in itself.
Well, once again, I'm pleased to say that I'm lucky. Probably I'm lucky, or probably not, I don't know. But the fact is that I found another partner, quite expert in working with schools, that was willing to participate without any fee requirement. So they had all the network to reach this the primary schools in Italy. What we had to do is just to give the material that we already had, because of the fact that we had a beautiful Generation Carbon Kid Guide. And of course, finding a partner that was helping us with several activities. And unfortunately, one of our Carbon Almanac network partner here in Italy, which is Sorgenia, helped us on this.
Mm. Were these schools in your local area, or they cross the whole of Italy?
The whole of Italy. And we also had the support of our energetic and environmental ministry. Mm. So we had a sort of recognition that is quite a great project for us.
I'm just curious, how does it look on a weekly or monthly basis? Do you guys meet, or how often do you meet? I guess I'm curious about the logistics. When, if I want to start something like that, what makes it sustainable?
Depending on our, you know, effort and on the activities we need to develop. When it came to Earth Day, we met each other weekly because of the fact that we need to check the progress of the activities. But otherwise, we try to meet every 2 weeks, quite regularly. And it's amazing because, you know, it's almost 6-8 months that we are meeting quite regularly. Yeah, since we made the association official, because what I wanted to do here in Italy is just to make our group official, because otherwise here in Italy, it's not that easy to find opportunity, especially when it comes to proposed project, because many institutions, as well as companies, as well as, you know, other people want to know, okay, who are you? What are you doing? And what kind of organization are you? So I made this decision to go through all the bureaucracy, and it's quite difficult, and to, you know, establish our group as a no-profit association. But I think that it's also for us opportunity to be more involved and more participant, because you know, it's true. We have a VAT number, so we have a bank account. We have, you know, all these kind of things that the org has. So
I'm also interested in how you. I'm not sure. Did you have any resistance at all at any stage, and if so, how you overcame that? Teachers being busy, for example, and fitting extra things into their curriculum, that kind of problem?
Well, the fact is that actually our project is an opportunity for them, because they have to fill, at least here in Italy, we have a couple of hours that we call citizen education, more or less. And the teacher had to fill in with them with some contents. And instead, we gave the teacher the opportunity to have a great content that also responded to 2030 agenda. And so for them was a sort of win-win situation. And it was free, because sometimes they had to insert in their curriculum, the school curriculum, some projects, but they had to pay. And instead, we gave this kind of contents and material and workshop for free. So quite effort from our side, but a great opportunity for the teacher. Interesting was the fact that it happened that maybe there were several schools that participated with several classes, just because of, for example, one teacher talked with the other ones. And so, you know, they accepted and they joined us altogether. This is happening, for example, for this Matilde's school. I talked with Matilde's teacher and informed all the other teachers, and we ended up with 10 classes. And so I had to run 10 different workshops. It was quite, you know, a little bit tiring, but
I was also very surprised, because the other day I attended a conference of education, climate and environmental education. There were different speakers from different countries, mostly in Europe, I think. And I was surprised that basically what happened to teachers is that they've been told by the government that they need to teach climate change and environment and all that, but they have no real support. And so this is really an opportunity. There is even an organization in the UK, maybe Rob, you've heard about them. There's an organization, they claim themselves, and they started themselves and started with a teacher who created a ministry of eco-education, because there was no material to teach eco or environmental education. So they created a ministry of eco-education. I was really, really surprised that this was going on this way, because the government told the teachers, you need to teach this, and you are really doing, helping the teachers, the primary school teachers. And I think it's the same case in a lot of countries because it's really new.
Yeah, absolutely. But the fact is that here in Italy, they are not yet, unfortunately, even forced to talk about climate change. This is something that is up to the teacher to talk about. And so this is the first challenge, and this is the first block for us. This is the reason why once everything will be more, you know, will be done, we tried and we worked a little bit at the very beginning of the year, but we needed to, you know, put a little bit in standby. But we would like to work on a petition in order to ask for climate change and ecology, actually, as mandatory subject here in Italy. And then you're perfectly right. The teachers are not well prepared, and they have no idea how to teach them. And I think that the most difficult part is trying to explain and being, of course, quite you know, scientific, giving the right information without terrifying or adding anxious to the kids. And this is the trick. And this is, you know, and I think that our job is going to the right direction for this reason, because we tell the truth, but we try to show also what we can do right now. Except for the part that, of course, the first thing is talking about and talking about grown-ups and trying to inform people. And of course, the main part is voting, but kids don't vote at the moment. But they can influence their family when they vote. But then apart from this, we gave them little action they can, you know, already take for making the world better.
Yeah, and I think also that eco-anxiety is a real thing with kids, because kids are very emotional.
Absolutely.
And so I think as a teacher, as an educator, it's our responsibility to give them answer and to help them through that process of, okay, well, how should I put that? It's just... maybe it's not as horrible as doom and gloom that you might hear in the media, because I don't know about the media's voice in Italy or in the UK, but in France, if you just listen to the media, it's just like, oh, well, we're all going to die and you have no future. And I think it's a horrible message for young generation, for kids. So I think it's a real job. It's to help kids process that and show them that they can do something, and it's not as horrible as the media want you to think.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think that the side effect is that people don't take any action at all, because, you know, we are all doomed to a certain end. So I don't think that. In fact, this is something that I'm, you know, mulling over a lot and a lot and a lot. What kind of message and what kind of information and what kind of language do we need to take into consideration? And of course, as a marketing people, I can say it depends on the audience and so, but I'm not sure that these kind of catastrophic messages are the right ones.
No, yeah. No, we had a conversation about that, which was basically the idea is from an article that I've read that says that being doom and gloom about the climate is as bad as being climate deniers, because basically the result is that you don't do anything. Because if you think that there's no way, there's nothing you can do about it, you don't do anything. And if you think that doesn't exist, you don't do anything. So as a result, it's as bad as, you know, in both cases, it's not helping.
Yeah, absolutely, definitely.
But I think the good thing is that children tend to be very, very adaptable. And when they get a positive message, then in some ways almost the best people to be teaching their own parents, really. I think that's been one of the values of the Carbon Almanac, is that it's not top down, it's kind of bottom up, if you like.
Yeah, and I think that sometimes we overlook the power of children. Instead, I think that if properly educated, or if we give the right tools to them, they are very, 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 you know, powerful and resourceful, because it's not that they have ideas, and you know, and they have hope, and they have to imagine a beautiful and special world for them. So I think that it's our duty, to make this possible for them. And so I'm really happy when it happens that a group of kids or teenager trying to collaborate or create a group. In fact, one volunteer proposed to create the Generation Carbon Club, which is an opportunity for people, families, kids to create their own Generation Carbon group within their neighborhood, within their city, wherever they want. And maybe we can help them with the tools, with the contents. Maybe, of course, it's a dream, but it can be, you know, a great opportunity. Because at the moment, kids and teenagers are not so... They have idea, they have energy, but they are not... how can I explain? They have no knowledge how the world goes, no, or there are some relationship that you need to take into consideration. Instead, we have the savviness of the grown-ups, because we are quite people of a certain expertise. Everybody in the association has at least 20 years of experience in corporations. And then with all this kind of expertise, we can, you know, help them trying to be more effective and support them.
Do you find that there are different schools across Italy now collaborating with each other, now that things are set up as they are for you in Italy?
Well, this can be a great next step, actually. Great, yeah. Idea. No, at the moment they are working, unfortunately, in silos. So all the school and actually all the teacher have the freedom to take all our material and, you know, explain or focus on some parts more than others, depending also on what they are teaching at the moment related to their school programs. Mm. For example, with Matilde, I'm going to propose a pilot workshop related to biodiversity, because of the fact that at the moment they are working in science, they're working on the endangered animals. And so I'm taking this chance to, you know, insert the Generation Carbon project within their program, in order to, you know, have something quite fluid and you know, something that the kids can link to.
Yeah, we found that was so good with the audiobook. People really engaged with it when they were offered the opportunity to speak for it. And you know, I think Matilda was one of the best examples, because she did pieces in English without having that much knowledge of English at the time, and she did so well with it. So it shows how adaptable children are.
Yeah, definitely. You know, how willing to help are.
I was wondering, because kids have so much power in families, that through children, you have some parents that got engaged in climate change through the children, through being exposed to the work that you're doing.
There are few families that hadn't any idea or any clue about what I was doing. Since this girl put together this movement, And she said, oh, my gosh, you're doing such a great, you know, work. I hadn't a clue. And so through their kids, the mom shared me some messages. They've been learning, you know, how bad is fast fashion, how important it is to not to use too much plastic, and how to, you know, how to recycle and blah blah blah. So I think that at least I'm happy. The grown-ups let the kids experiment themselves in this activity, because I don't think that it's common, you know, because they could also say, oh, what are you doing? Why don't you think of just, you know, study and so on? Instead, they, you know, they help the kids just create a specific chat in WhatsApp for this project. So this is a great opportunity where the kids have the chance to share their messages. And then I think that it's a way for the grown-up to reflect on some messages, especially the fast fashion, because I'm realizing that talking also with my colleagues, they hadn't any clue how bad it is, you know, changing and buying the fast fashion and the impact this amount of not sold clothes have on society, on developing countries. And wow, it's and so I think that can be a way for the grown-ups to, you know, focus on, okay, maybe I can, instead of buying this, I can search for a different way to respond to a need, which is still a consumeristic need sometimes, but a need in a more sustainable way.
Yeah. This is something I notice very often, is the request for making more sustainable choices come from children in many families.
Yeah. And what I've noticed so far, for example, it's just I saw this advertising campaign 2 days ago from a quite popular brand of pasta here in Italy. The situation is that the dad is cleaning the table after the dinner or the lunch, I don't know, and is throwing away the food waste. But then the girl says to him, stop, you can keep it and save it for tomorrow. This is more or less the situation. And it's a girl, you know, the kid telling the father, so you're right.
That is so good. But I'm not surprised at all. Yeah.
Yeah, this is also food waste, something that I focused a lot during my workshop,
yeah,
because it's a quite easy win-win. So trying to let the kids reflect on how bad it is, the food waste, for several reasons, and how simple it is to just save it for tomorrow, or being, you know, quite creative in order to reuse the food in a creative manner. And what I'm telling them every time is that, fortunately, here in Italy, we finally have a specific law that forces the restaurants to give the dog bag. So please ask them always for the dog bag. Don't be afraid. Don't be shy. Don't be ashamed, because it's a shame here in Italy. You know, if you're asking for the doggy bag, it's because you haven't food at home, but it's not true. It's just because you don't want to waste it. So this is something that I do every time.
Yeah, we've noticed that in more restaurants in this country, that people offer that service. And our youngest son, he's a big eater, but there are certain things I think he just thinks, yeah, I want to save this. So there's no way he's going to leave it. He always gets his food put into packaging to take home now. And yeah, it's been nice to see that.
Is it illegal? Because here in France, it's a must for restaurants to provide this opportunity to provide boxes or doggy bags. But I noticed that's not always enforced. So some restaurants said, oh, we don't have it anymore. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, it should be illegal. You could, you know, Of course, I don't know what kind of fine they receive in case. But at least here in Italy, at the moment, they shouldn't. But let me say that I hadn't found any particular difficulty in finding a restaurant giving us the boxes with the food left. Every time I asked, I found people quite prepared.
Also, we can get ready and carry boxes.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Well, about 20 years ago, when our eldest was very young, we went to a local restaurant. It's an Italian restaurant called Ponte di Legno. It's in Woodbridge Road, which is why it's Ponte di Legno. And we ordered some pasta. And our eldest was our only child at the time. And he just fell asleep just as our food was being served. And so his plate just sat there for the whole time while we were eating. And at the end, the waiter came up and said, I'll put this in a container for you to take away with you. And I remember being really touched by that at that stage. And it was very unusual as well. And I've only just thought about that because now it is so much more commonplace for people to be offered that. But it was almost like at that stage, I didn't think that was an available thing to be able to take the food away with me. So it's funny how my mindset has changed over the last 20 years.
But I think that, in 20 years, everybody has shifted a lot. This is me, for example, working in the Carbon Almanac project changed completely my point of view. I've realized that I was just scratching the surface. I didn't, And so I tried to inform myself more and more and trying to, find ways to have an impact.
And going back to Generation Carbon Italy, so what's next for until the end of the school year and what's next for after the school year?
Well, we have... also a contest, Generation School Project Contest. So the classes involved can send us different projects that is something we created with recycled materials or cartoons or a drawing, whatever they want related to our contents and climate change. And then 30 classes will win a special prize, which is a cardboard game that a partner gifted us. And so I'm really, really curious to receive all these projects and see what the kids have focused on or want to, put their attention on. So this is something that we will receive with the end of the school year, which is at the beginning of June. And so we will also have a call within the group in order to see, what went well or what went wrong or what we can improve. Because, of course, our dream is to keep going and propose and to keep on proposing projects to schools. And of course, it could be already great to have this second edition in order for us to have more time to study other kind of projects for the secondary school, because this is focused on the primary school. And in the meanwhile, we're working on the Educator's Guide. We are trying to translate all the amazing work that the Carbon Almanac Network has already done. What I'm doing at the moment is just trying to, use all these beautiful toolkit and resources we already have and trying to marketing in Italy and trying to adapt them, because of course the school the school system is a little bit different. So we're working on this, and because of the fact that what we were saying before, you know, teachers are not prepared, and so the educator's guide might be a way for them to be prepared to talk about this difficult topic. And we're working on our website in order to have to post all our resources, the kit guide translated, the educator's guide, and so on. But our main my main task is to recruiting volunteers, because at the moment we are just 10 people, and we need people to put in place all the ideas we have. Because for example, we will also would like to work on the Generation Carbon podcasts in order trying to translate them or to use them here in Italy, and so. So ideas, many ideas, and step by step. But we are happy, because I think that just in a very few time, less than 1 year, we did a lot.
How do you manage to do all that? Because your mom, you have a full time job, and you've done so much. So how can you find the time to do all that? Even if you're a team of 10, just because before we start, you say that your family, you're asking a lot of your family time. Yeah.
This is this is the first key. My daughter is helping me, and so whatever I need, support, especially, okay, I'm doing this. How do you, for example, also at the moment for the project that I'm running, I run in her class, and I involved Michi for this, and say, oh, well, have a look at what Michi is brilliantly doing. I say, wow, beautiful mom. And so, having them, having her involved is key, because she feels part of something bigger than herself. And second, of course, having a partner that understands why I'm doing what I'm doing. And so it's not getting in the way, and actually is trying to be helpful as much as he can. For example, in Turin, he took care of Matilde, because it was the day before her religious ceremony. And so, okay, I did it on your behalf, and you can go to Turin. And so, otherwise, I couldn't. So, and this is the magic I can create. And of course, the enthusiasm that I think that is quite involving for the other component of the association. And so if I can involve them and I can transfer my enthusiasm to them, they are willing to help them back.
I was reading my notes. One of the questions I wanted to ask is, how has this experience, this 6 months, or since you've started working on Generation Carbon Italy, how has it transformed you as a person?
I think that I'm transforming every day, because I'm learning something new every day. It helped me see things in a different way once again, because I'm putting myself in a different perspective, which is the perspective of the children, and I'm forcing myself trying to explain something difficult in an easier way, and in a anxious way. So trying to also to rediscover my inner child. So this is a great opportunity for me to be a support for them, it also helped me in creating a network in the town that I live, because of the fact that I I'm shy. I'm trying not to, you know, expose myself too much. But as I had to prepare 10 workshops in 10 classes, which I'm talking about, so 250 kids. So that means 250 families that the day after say, oh, I see. So, you know, my kid told me that you were in his class or her class talking about this. So it exposed me to be a little bit on the stage that I don't like, but it helped me create a new relationship. And it gave me the force, for example, to propose what we did at ERTE in Turin in an event that is going to be held at the end of May in my town. I wouldn't have thought about it just a few months ago about this kind of opportunity. Instead, I search for the contacts and I say, okay, we are doing this. And I put together all the information. I showed them all the picture that I took during the evening. I say, if you want, I can do that. The same for the... And I say, wow, it's beautiful. Do it. So there are a lot of, you know, sentences that were in my mind, you know, that I learned in Alte MBA with Carbon Almanac, that I say, okay, they are beautiful sentences, but how can, you know, make it them real, actionable? And now I'm making actionable this kind of, for example, no, it's always up to you. If you care enough, you're more powerful than you think you are. The other one I've said that I love that is leadership don't need, you know, more time but clarity. And that happened, for example, in Earth Day Turin, because we had just three weeks, but we focused and we had a clear idea of what the outcome would have been that we managed, although the time was not so much.
But it exceeded your expectations, actually, the outcome.
Absolutely exceeded. definitely.
Any other question?
I was just wondering what you got from the Earth Day that you will carry forwards, and what experience you got from that, and how you might do it differently next time.
Yeah, this is something that we are reflecting right now with the group. For example, we focused a lot on the activity in order for the kids to be engaged and to have the proper activity. But for example, because of, you know, the chaotic moment, a lot of people, a lot of family come into our booth that we hadn't time to spend a few moments talking about what they found in the garden, what kind of messages, or to talk a little bit more about our generation kid guide and how to download them, because we gave it away a lot of materials as a gift for the treasure hunter. We gave the book signing and the Climate Quest cardboard, our Climate Quest, and translated in Italian. And so we thought that it was enough, but probably we could have taken few minutes explaining a little bit more about, you know, the Generation Kid Guide. This is something that I keep with me, and I'll try to do better next time at our town. Probably there will be fewer people, so the occasion to talk about our kid guide in order for the people to download it for free, because the truth is that our tool is free, you know, so a great opportunity for people to learn. So this is something that we can make it better.
That's such a beautiful idea. So happy that it's going viral. And I hope other countries and will take notice and check it out and do it. I think it's amazing. In Czech Republic, there is a ministry that is environmental ministry. So they have a lot of research. They have great booklets, but it's not going into the public. I stop by in their office, and there are piles and piles of these beautiful booklets. But like you said, idea is great. They did what the government asked them, but it's not out there. And we have a little bit different problem with teachers. They're overwhelmed with all the other the requirements they have to meet, and they are not creating space for them to play around this. So I hope it will spread to other countries. Maybe we can do the European Union kind of requirement. Your next step, Barbara.
Why not? Why not? We have to dream big always.
What I take away from this conversation is your enthusiasm and the fact that you started something. And I think, you know, I don't know how to express that, but it's like you have a mission, and the mission has become very clear, and it liberates the superwoman that was inside you. So that's, you know, that is something I take away from this conversation. And it's a very powerful message to other women, people who want to do something, and just, you know, just do it. And then, because you didn't think too much before starting it, and now you've started it, you're ever surprised by how big and how normal it feels as well. So this is a very powerful message. Thank you.
Thank you, Liki. Yeah, the fact is that I tend to consider what I'm doing normal, actually, not so impressive. But then again, when I talk to people and say, "Oh, how can you do that?" And so, if I can, you can, because I'm not so special, actually.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you all for having me.
Thank you, Barbara. And so we'll talk to you in 6 months again.
Yeah, hopefully. And probably we will have something else to say.
You've been listening to Carbon Sessions, a podcast with carbon conversations for every day with everyone from everywhere in the world. We'd love you to join the Carbon Sessions so you too can share your perspectives from wherever you are. This is a great way for our community to learn from your ideas and experiences, connect, and take action. If you want to add your voice to the conversation, go to thecarbonalmanac.org/podcasts and sign up to be part of a future episode. This podcast is also part of the Carbon Almanac Network. For more information, to sign up for the emails, to join the movement, and to order your copy of the Carbon Almanac, go to thecarbonalmanac.org. Be sure to subscribe and join us here again, as together we can change the world.